Good afternoon. I would like to call the House Labor and Commerce Committee to order. Today is Monday, March 20th. Let the record reflect the time is 3:16 p.m. Today we have present Representative Sadler, Representative Protz, Representative Wright, Representative Fields is online, Representative Ruffridge is myself as Vice Chair, and Representative Carrick is joining us right now. Staff that is assisting us today are Jordan Wright with House Records. Thank you, Jordan. And Zachary Lawhorn with the LIO. And then we have Clark Bickford, our committee aide to House Labor and Commerce, and staff to Representative Sumner. In today's agenda, we have the first bill hearing for House Bill 56, a bill that I am the sponsor of. And we have a second bill hearing on House Bill 99 from Representative Armstrong. Thank you for joining us today, including public testimony on House Bill 99. And so is there any comments or questions from the committee before we get started? All right, seeing none. So we will start with House Bill 56. I'm going to have my Chief of Staff, Bud Sexton, come up and give us just a brief introduction and the sectional of House Bill 56, and then we will have a presentation from Dr. Rachel Berngart and Dr. Tracy Ward, and they will give us their introduction to House Bill 56. Mr. Sexton.
Good afternoon. For the record, Bud Sexton, staff to Representative Justin Ruffridge. And in order to not duplicate presentations, most of the materials will be covered in the presentation following my comments, presentation by the doctor. So give you just a brief information about this bill. So again, this bill is to exempt veterinarians from the reporting. Basically, the reason why we're talking about the burdensome requirements of the reporting doesn't really fall in line with the current scope of practice is what's underway. Also, one of the big concerns is privacy. Is for a lot of individuals, they may not be aware when they take their pet to the veterinarian that, in fact, their personal medical information is under review and is examined. And so, again, all those will be shared in further details and information by the forthcoming presentation. So if I may, I'll just read brief sectional analysis. Section 1, AS 17.30.200, is amended to remove, quote, and the Board of Veterinary Examiners, end quote, from the notification requirement when a practitioner registers with the database under subsection N of the section. Section 2, AS 17.30.200, is amended by adding a new subsection to read, this section does not apply to a Schedule 2, 3, or 4 controlled substances that is prescribed or dispensed by a veterinarian licensed under AS Statute 08.98 to treat an animal. And Section 3, AS 08.98.050, Subsection A, Subsection 10, is repealed, which removes the requirement for veterinarians under the Controlled Substance Prescription Database. Again, at this point, I would like to, Chair, at your preference, invite the invited testimony, who can go over all this in much further detail.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Sexton. And we will have Dr. Berngart and Dr. Ward come to the podium, introduce yourselves for the record, and we'll get your presentation loaded up. Thank you guys for being here today. Okay. I'm going to take a brief at ease. All right, back on record, and we're just having a little technical difficulties, so welcome. Introduce yourselves for the record and begin your presentation.
Thank you, Vice Chair Ruffridge. For the record, my name is Rachel Berngart. I'm the Chair of the Board of Veterinary Examiners for the State of Alaska, and I will now turn over to Dr. Tracy Ward.
Thank you. For the record, my name is Dr. Tracy Ward. I'm a veterinarian practicing at the Animal Shelter here in Juneau, and I'm the past president of the Alaska State Veterinary Medical Association. I'm speaking on their behalf today. Both the Alaska State Veterinary Medical Association and the Alaska Board of Veterinary Examiners strongly support House Bill 56, an act exempting veterinarians from the requirements of the Controlled Substance Prescription Database. In addition, the Alaska Board of Pharmacy, the agency that administers the PDMP, has also expressed support and voted on a motion last year to support this exemption as well. As brief background, for those of you who aren't familiar, Alaska's PDMP was established in 2008 and was participation was voluntary until 2017, when in response to the growing opioid epidemic, the PDMP was amended to require mandatory participation by all drug enforcement agency holders, including veterinarians. It's important to note that neither the AKVMA or the Board of Veterinary Examiners were consulted prior to this amendment being enacted, whereas representation from all of the other affected boards, as you can see from the graphic there, were on a committee involving this amendment. And so at this point, PDMP reporting is required for all federal DEA license holders who prescribe, administer, or dispense federally scheduled 2, 3, and 4 controlled substances. The PDMP is not an effective database for veterinarians or our patients. It was established for use with human medicine, and querying of the PDMP for animals is not possible in the current system, primarily because animals do not have unique identifiers such as a social security number. We often don't know their birthdays, and even their name and ownership can change throughout their life. So when a veterinarian wants to prescribe a controlled substance, they need to query the human, the individual who brought the animal to the veterinarian, and we review the human data, which is not usable for veterinarians. We have no way of making any sort of assessment of the appropriateness of the human client's previous prescription controlled drug prescription history because we are not trained in human pharmacology. We don't understand what the doses mean, what's an appropriate dose, what's an appropriate length of time, or appropriate numbers of refills that might be obtained by the person. We do understand from our experience with essentially every other species that we are allowed to treat that drug dosages can vary tremendously between species. So what might look like a very large amount of a controlled substance for one of our patients might be entirely appropriate for a human being, and vice versa. So in other words, the data that we are required to query and review, we have no way of making any use of it. In addition, as Representative Ruffridge's Chief of Staff mentioned, there is a privacy issue with veterinarians reviewing this information. Veterinarians are not covered by HIPAA because the client is not our patient. And so we are not bound by the regulations to keep that information private. I would ask the representatives to read on the list at the bottom of this slide of some of the common medications that we would be able to see our clients had prescriptions for, and ask yourself if someone that you did not enjoy client-patient privilege with were to have access to that information, how you would feel. It definitely causes some concern for us and for our clients. So we do often get asked if we were to be exempted from the PDMP, how is there any control or accountability for veterinarians prescribing controlled substances? And the answer is we are already heavily enforced and monitored by the Drug Enforcement Agency. We have to adhere to very strict record keeping and medical storage requirements for all controlled substances that we bring into our clinic, administer to an animal, or dispense. And those records must be made available to local law enforcement and the DEA upon request. In addition, distributors of controlled substances are bound by a suspicious order monitoring system that requires them to monitor purchases and flag unusual purchases to the DEA. In other words, the companies who manufacture and distribute these drugs have to monitor our purchases, and if a individual veterinarian or practice brings in an amount of a controlled substance that falls outside of the normal use pattern, either historically for that same practice or in comparison to practices of similar size and type, those purchases are flagged and reviewed, and the DEA is notified for possible investigation. I'm going to turn over to Dr. Berngard now.
Thank you. And through the chair, for the record, my name is Dr. Rachel Berngard. So why does it make sense to exempt veterinarians? 33 other states have already exempted veterinarians from participating in the PDMP. We are not asking to be guinea pigs here. There's widespread acceptance for veterinary exemption from the prescription drug monitoring program. The last state to implement a PDMP in 2021 did not require veterinarians to participate. So essentially, the PDMP is a very good tool for doctor shopping. There has been no reported increase in doctor shopping or diversion from veterinarians as a result of exemptions, which have been going on for many, many years. So we're not asking anything unique of Alaska to exempt veterinarians from the PDMP. So on this slide, we're looking at veterinary drugs versus the drugs that are trending in United States drug overdose deaths. And here what we see is that we have a natural barrier to doctor shopping for veterinarians, since primary costs for veterinarians have to be paid upfront by the owners. It's a very unique circumstance, whereas even if you have veterinary insurance, you're still paying upfront for those veterinary costs. Then when we look at what potential folks are seeking with regards to drugs implicated in overdoses and deaths, we're looking at oxycodone, fentanyl, heroin. Those are the most commonly implicated drugs. And those are not drugs that veterinarians prescribe. So essentially what we have is an inability to seek the drugs that potential addicts are seeking to actually obtain. And they're not going to get those from veterinarians. They can find those through, unfortunately, other means that are much less expensive. Then when we turn to why it makes sense with regards to licensing burdensures, the Board of Veterinary Examiners has had to pay out investigative costs for the PDMP over a period of time that you can see on the graph displayed in front of you. There's been no identification of nefarious behavior from veterinarians since 2018, there's been no identification of veterinarian nefarious behavior, period, since we have been monitoring through the prescription drug monitoring program through 2018. There are some grants available currently that take the prescription drug monitoring program side of things and look at differences in prescribing. And those grants cover the PDMP side of things. But if something is turned over to the Board of Veterinary Examiners, which it has been in the past, particularly in 2021, the board has borne the costs of those investigations. And like I said before, none of those investigations had anything to do with nefarious behavior from veterinarians. It was all about the inability, as Dr. Ward spoke earlier, that animals don't have unique identifiers. Veterinarians have to pick and choose as far as which owner they're actually going to query. And so those are actual costs that the Board of Veterinary Examiners have had to bear. And the issue here is not that just the board has to bear those costs. Those costs are borne by the licensees. So we are a licensee-funded board. So our licensing costs will go up and up if these investigative costs do not resolve. And this is the perfect next slide. Alaska has the highest licensing fees for veterinarians in the country. We have a veterinarian shortage in the country and in Alaska. And so when we think about making Alaska an attractive place for veterinarians to come and practice with high licensing fees, that's not the best position for Alaska to potentially be situated in. We have had an appropriation of general funds, thank you, which has resulted in no licensing fees increase for last year, but that money tree is not indefinite for sure. So we need to get a handle on licensing fees and make Alaska an attractive place for veterinarians to come and practice. When we charge veterinarians with the cost of enforcement of an unusable database, that sends a message to veterinarians who are potentially thinking about coming and practicing here. And it's not necessarily a message that we want to encourage, and it's not responsible stewardship of our resources. And in conclusion, the Alaska Veterinary Medical Association and the Board of Veterinary Examiners ask for support of HB 56. It will allow veterinarians to provide appropriate medical management for each patient. It will increase the efficiency of the prescription drug monitoring program for its intended purposes. It will allow continued use, judicious use of controlled substances that is already practiced by veterinarians, and it will eliminate unnecessary and disproportionate business burdens for veterinarians. Thank you for your time, and we welcome any questions.
All right. Thank you for your presentation. Is there any questions from committee members for Dr. Berngardt or Dr. Ward? Representative South.
Thank you. Through the chair, Dr. Berngardt. So if opioids and those kind of drugs, fentanyl, are not what the veterinarians are prescribing, I may have seen some reference in some of the background material, but what are the primary medications that veterinarians do prescribe?
Thank you. And through the chair to Representative Sadler. So the primary opioid medications that veterinarians are prescribing primarily are going to be hydrocodone. And hydrocodone is used in it's used in small dogs that have coughs. So we're talking about a 10 to 15 pound dog that has usually, unfortunately, with small dog breeding, there's inherent risks of tracheal collapse. So we do see a lot of that in small breed dogs. And so we're talking about a very small amount of hydrocodone used to control their cough. And it's usually prescribed in a beefy or chicken or salmon flavored preparation. So it's not something, even if somebody were to potentially try to drug seek from a veterinarian, fine, maybe hydrocodone is one of those things they may want to seek. They're not going to get exactly what they're particularly seeking with a beefy or salmon-flavored oral suspension. So it's and to be clear, that's not going to come at a low cost either. That's going to entail blood work, x-rays, a physical exam, all of those sorts of things, even to get, you know, potentially a 15 milliliter suspension of a drug that is not going to necessarily be usable. So that's one of the most commonly prescribed things. And I know we have Dr. Ward here, and then we have Dr. Dick and Dr. Delker on the line, and they're in common private practice for small animals, so they could potentially add more to your question.
Thank you, Representative Sather.
And a follow-up, too. I heard a story once back in the farm country where I grew up that there was a veterinarian who would prescribe, who would deliver antibiotics to families who didn't have the means to go to a people doctor and say, this is for the dogs, but it's tetracycline or it's declamyncin or something. It's okay for the kids. Is there any potential for abuse of drugs through veterinarians to human use that's not opioids, that's not thrill-seeking intoxication? Are there any other drugs that might kind of be devil's advocate? I like the bill, but mm-hmm. So just trying to ask the question.
So through the chair to Representative Sadler, yes. Absolutely, there is. But what we're talking about here is the prescription drug monitoring program, which talks about controlled drugs, which is not only opiates, but it's other controlled drugs, as Dr. Ward alluded to, sex hormone therapy, Adderall, Ambien, all of those sorts of other drugs. So yes, there is that potential diversion, but I would like to keep this focused on what the prescription drug monitoring program is and is not. And it does not cover antibiotics, which are not a controlled substance. They're a prescription substance most of the time, to be sure, but they're not a controlled substance.
Thank you.
Other questions? Okay. Seeing none, I guess I will take a brief at ease and pass the gavel to Representative Wright, and I'll do some closing comments, if you don't mind, Representative Wright. All right, brief at ease.
For a temporary chairmanship. So I understand the sponsor has a brief statement he'd like to give us.
Yes, thank you to the committee for hearing House Bill 56 today. Thank you to the chair, Representative Sumner, for scheduling the bill today. And it's certainly a important piece of legislation that has been in this body for a number of years. And I think it would be a really good thing to finally get the exemption across the finish line. It's been my intention, certainly, to continue work on the prescription drug monitoring program. It's a very important program, one that I think has had great success. And certainly the veterinarian group wants that to succeed, but we also want to keep our patient information as private as possible, and we also want to allow them to continue to do their work unhindered. So appreciate your support for the bill, and if there are any questions, I'm certainly able to answer them now or later. So thank you, and thank you for the opportunity to speak.
Thank you. Seeing no questions, be for these.
Record is 3:40 p.m. and so that is our conclusion of business for House Bill 56. We will set that bill aside for a further date, and now we will move on to House Bill 99 from Representative Armstrong. We do have some invited testimony on this bill first, and we are also going to open up public testimony. We do have a number of folks online, it looks like, to testify. So we will first allow Representative Armstrong a brief introduction and let us know a little bit about the bill and give us a couple of thoughts for the day. Representative Armstrong.
Yeah, thank you so much, Representative Ruffridge, and thank you so much for having us here today. I'm sorry I could not be there in person. The fog had other plans for us. A couple of remarks before we jump into testimony. The first is that we wanted to note that the commission does have jurisdiction in some of its subject areas regarding public schools. And the second thing to note for the public record is that the briefing memo in the committee packet was prepared at the request of the Alaska State Commission for Human Rights by their own staff and not by Department of Law staff. So thank you again for having us back here today. We really appreciate the opportunity. I know that we have a lot of testimony. So since I just gave you 10 minutes on this bill on Friday, I think we can just jump right into your testimony.
Okay. Thank you, Representative Armstrong. We do have some invited testimony on this bill. We have, let me get to that screen here. We do have Haley Morris from Kenai. Josh Smith from Anchorage, Lynn Davis, looks like from Juneau, as well as Maureen Longworth from Juneau. So I guess we will start with Haley Morris from Kenai. Haley, if you are with us, you are welcome to introduce yourself for the record and your affiliation. Just a couple of brief comments on testimony. We do have just limited time today, so if we can try to keep our testimony as brief as possible so we can get through all of our testifiers, that would be great. Haley, you can begin. Okay. Haley, are you there? All right. That is a no. We will move on to Josh Smith. Josh Smith, if you can hear us. You are online, and introduce yourself for the record.
Absolutely. I wanted to start off by thanking the House Labor and Commerce Committee for taking up this bill and affording me the opportunity to speak on my experience and why I support the passage of House Bill 99. My name is Joshua Smith, and I come to you as a 10-year U.S. Air Force veteran and a current resident of Chugiak. For me, growing up, military service was a way of life. Both of my parents served in the U.S. Army, and in 2001, my dad was stationed at Fort Wainwright, and during that time, my family fell in love with Alaska. While growing up here, I was shown by example the patriotic duty of military service and the opportunities it presented for our future. It was an untold expectation for my brother and I to serve at least one tour of in the armed forces, and we did with pride. I entered the delayed entry program shortly after my senior year of high school, and I shipped off shortly thereafter. Despite the pride I felt being able to serve, this was a troubling time for me, as I was a closeted gay man who was experiencing deep denial over my sexuality and enlisted under Don't Ask, Don't Tell. The consistent threat of being discharged if I were to come out as gay suppressed all opportunity of me to live authentically. Serving my country came at the cost of truth. The notion of integrity first as the first Air Force core value seemed hollow, as I was actively concealing who I was in order to serve. I lived in the reality of keeping quiet about my identity with alibis and cover stories at the ready to fend off harmless conversations with coworkers and military leadership. Every conversation felt inauthentic with a dwelling sense of moral compromise and exhaustion. I fought this shame for years as I considered self-harm to cope. My dark thoughts turned suicidal, and I eventually attempted to end my life, as it felt like the only option. This period left a lasting mark on me as a person and challenged my ability to find self-worth or confidence in my abilities, both personally and professionally. During my time serving, I saw Don't Ask, Don't Tell repealed, which offered relief, but the culture of the military took time to catch up. Still passing as a straight man, many of my colleagues continued to speak poorly of the LGBTQ community as they thought I was good company. It took several more years before the culture shifted enough for me to let my guard down and share any authentic part of me with my closest colleagues. For many, this was an anticlimactic conversation, as they knew me as their fellow airman and worker. But in many other instances, there was discrimination that was hard to combat. Periodic homophobia and discrimination seemed normal to me after many years of struggling, and as I understood it to be the price to be paid to be tolerated by my workplace. While it felt good to be accepted by some, the prejudice from leadership and older civilian employees chipped away at my already rattled self-confidence. Talking with fellow LGBTQ military friends and veterans, I heard stories of being ostracized, discriminated against, spit on, bullied, and looked over for opportunities long after the repeal of Don't Ask, Don't Tell. Even with the culture shifting in the military, I was continually hypervigilant of sharing any part of me off the installation. While there was some federal workplace regulations addressing discrimination, no such protections existed outside the gate. Not only was I concerned about the overall safety, but I was concerned about it affecting other big events in my life. When I purchased my home, I made no mentions of my significant other, nor did he come with me to view homes or sign any legal documents. Due to the lack of any anti-discrimination language protecting LGBTQ people, I wasn't willing to gamble my future home on the potential beliefs of my realtor or bank. It felt necessary to have cover stories and practice them in advance, hoping that they would come off as natural. This gave me flashbacks of my time serving under Don't Ask, Don't Tell, which is a place no one belongs. With advancements of the LGBTQ protections in Alaska in recent years, I find myself comfortable living my truth and healing from the years of shame and oppression that I endured. I have also discovered that just like my unit I've served with, Alaskans are loving and accepting people who can put aside differences and find unity of living in the last frontier. Validating legislation, legal protections, and community sentiment have played an integral role in my ability to live authentically with my husband of 5 years. Being honest and truthful to who I am has given me a newfound life or love of life and my community. Therefore, it comes time for our state government to recognize that discrimination has no place in Alaska. From the LGBTQI service members, dependents, and children being stationed here who worry about adequate protection for their families while living in Alaska, to the lifelong Alaskans who face years of discrimination, every community member deserves to live free of prejudice, especially where it's protected for others. Language matters, and without explicit protections, the neutrality of the law falls on the side of the oppressor. This bill is a significant step towards supporting not only our LGBTQI military members and veterans, but it also past and present LGBTQI plus Alaskans. Alaska is better than discrimination, and it's time the language reflects this. Please vote yes on House Bill 99. Thank you so much for your time, and I appreciate the consideration.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Smith, for your testimony. We will move on to Lynn Davis. Lynn, if you are online, if you would like to introduce yourself for the record,
yes.
Your affiliation, please. Thank you.
Yes, thank you. Thank you, Labor and Commerce Committee, for hearing our testimony. I'm a 30-year resident, and for 15 years I worked at the Alaska Department of Labor and Workforce Development out at the Juneau Job Center. Before that, I worked in California developing apprenticeship and skilled trades opportunities for women. I have a master's in career counseling. I am a member of the LGBTQ community, and I've advocated for our equality since the late 70s. At the job center, several times a month, I saw LGBTQ plus people caught in the tangles of discrimination in hiring, firing, lack of job retention, not getting interviews. Losing your job through bias is a wound to the soul. Lose your job, lose your health insurance, lose your confidence, and many LGBTQ struggle to support their families, even now with the gains we've had. The majority of Alaskans support protections. When Juneau passed its city protections, 30 people testified through tears about losing jobs and housing. One young man, Mark, sobbed as he sought words about his recent firing from a seafood job. The manager spotted him eating lunch with his boyfriend, fired him on the spot. Mark said, "I just want to work hard and pay my bills." Alaska needs bold, confident workers. It's time for protection. Fair work environments help us create stronger state commerce. Talented workers pay attention to which states have protection. Non-gay workers likely have LGBTQ plus family members, and they will find their highest comfort in states with protection. Alaska is not yet a welcoming state. Our lack of protection communicates disfavor and state backwardness. My hero now is my Ohio Republican dad, Wilbur, who changed his point of view about gay people. He would give his total blessing to House Bill 99. Thank you very much.
And thank you for your testimony, Lynn Davis, and thank you for choosing to speak to us today. And we will move on to Maureen Longworth. Maureen, if you are online, if you could please introduce yourself for the record and your affiliation, and proceed with your testimony.
Thank you. My name is Dr. Maureen Longworth, and I am very happy to be here, and thank you for the time to receive our testimony. I'm a retired licensed physician of 40 years, and I'm familiar with the ill health that results from discrimination. In the privacy of an exam room, patients disclose symptoms of distress or dis-ease due to lack of acceptance based on their sexual orientation. In some cases, they have been threatened by others, even their own family members, employers, or landlords. I've cared for patients who expressed they would rather suicide than experience the discrimination of living as a gay person in Alaska. The American Academies of Family Physicians, pediatricians, psychiatrists, and internal medicine have all passed statutes reflecting the current medical science that supports legislation that creates safe and equal home, work, and public places for LGBTQ citizens. Medical studies repeatedly show that equality in a community results in healthier community overall. Whether you're LGBTQ or not, we all benefit from a healthier, equal rights community. Here in Alaska, with towns remote from one another, it is difficult for residents to get support. LGBTQ Alaskans are at risk of isolation from support and resources. We need laws in place that trickle into every Alaskan community and household. We have a disproportionate number of teen suicide and high teen homelessness rates in Alaska, both of which are higher in LGBTQ Americans than their non-LGBTQ counterparts. Without legal protections in place, it is difficult for isolated individuals to reach out for the help they need, even within their own schools, families, and health system. Passing legislation to include LGBTQ equal protection under the law is long overdue. Thank you for your yes vote on House Bill 99, Doctor's Orders. Thank you so much.
All right. Thank you, Maureen Longworth, for your testimony. So that ends our invited testimony portion. Never mind. We have Haley back online for the last of the invited testimony. Thank you for joining back online, Haley. If you are able to, go ahead and state your name for the record and your affiliation, and you can begin your testimony.
Thank you for allowing me to speak to the Labor and Commerce Committee. My name is Haley Wilson, also Haley Morris. I am a behavioral health clinician and small business owner in Kenai. I'm a licensed professional counselor supervisor, certified rehabilitation counselor, and certified public health professional with two master's degrees, one in counseling, one in public health. I'm here today because of my support for House Bill 99. Working directly with Alaskans needing behavioral health services, both in my private practice and former community mental health physician, I have had the opportunity of seeing people from various demographics in our state. One specific situation brought up often in session is my client's ability to both secure and advance in employment due to their gender identity and sexual orientation. This compounds on already existing barriers, including access to insurance and mental health care. I'd love to give you an example of two differing trajectories with the same scenario I have personally witnessed. Client A seeks counseling for a hostile work environment due to their gender identity and being called various slurs, being belittled, not having the same opportunities as other employees, and more. Client A currently has insurance through their employer, great coverage, let's call it Federal Blue Cross Blue Shield, sees a counselor regularly, but due to the constant harassment with no available resolution, they are starting to find employment difficult. Under the daily onslaught of insults, threats, and suggestions to go kill yourself, client A begins to wonder if they would be better off dead. Without meaning to, they begin thinking about ways to end their life. And soon they are thinking about it so often that them and their counselor decide that inpatient care may be necessary. If our state has room, maybe they can get the services needed. That's a huge if. Our mental health services are currently waitlisted most any time I've checked. Let's say they don't. Going back to the workplace will cause imminent harm, and they still have to leave their job. There are no protections, no safety net. Client A, once having had amazing private insurance, is now without insurance and a paycheck and still needs mental health treatment. The cost of Medicaid, food assistance, housing programs are no longer something client A is paying for with their taxes, but utilizing as a person in need. The wait lists now are even longer due to only having Medicaid. Just an example, Kenai's Sedalton area, we have three Medicaid-accepting community mental health organizations. One does not accept non-IHS beneficiaries. One can't currently tell you how long the wait list is, but you fill out an intake and you wait. And the third has a wait list of over 100 people with a one-year estimate. Client A could still utilize an inpatient bed, but there is not one available. They've also lost their mental health provider that they did have with private insurance. They will try to connect with Division of Vocational Rehab and be put on a wait list of 6+ months for an evaluation before they can even see if they're eligible for workplace services. And that's if they're able to function at that level currently. What options are they left with aside from utilizing government resources available to survive? Let's say client B, exact same situation. Great insurance, great coverage, sees a counselor weekly, experiences a hostile work environment due to their gender identity. Their employer is affirming and works to resolve the discrimination. They don't have to because there are no laws preventing discrimination otherwise. They just happen to know the damage the harassment can cause and choose to be proactive. Client B processes the trauma with their clinician, paid for by their private health insurance, continues to work with their employer to help repair the workplace environment. Instead of utilizing government resources to survive, their taxes contribute to those programs while the client thrives. In addition to the clients themselves being impacted, the hostile workplace has a cost to the overall community and can also impact the mental health of coworkers being subjected as a bystander of mistreatment. The impact of discrimination to our labor force exists outside of those who are fired or quit. And as we all know, our workplace morale definitely impacts our mental health. I have seen the same trajectories I mentioned above with my client in our Alaska housing situation as well, with LGBTQ plus clients not having the same access as another client of mine with all other considered aspects comparable. These are not potential scenarios. These are actual scenarios of our actual Alaskans here. This is an economic burden of discrimination that happens often. And while I am currently speaking, I know of several people who are at risk of losing employment due to their gender identity. I know more who have lost their employment and many who are working their last semester because they are not going to sign an LGBTQ plus discrimination statement so they can stay employed in higher education in Alaska. In addition to the needs of our clients and our labor force, we are also facing a significant provider shortage, especially with mental health providers, not sure of other providers, which I know personally is impacted by our lack of protection for LGBTQ plus individuals. House Bill 99 will not only positively impact the workplace and mental health of LGBTQ plus Alaskans, but also reduce the economic burden of those who our legislation has not previously protected. So thank you for your yes vote to House Bill 99.
Thank you for your testimony. So that does bring us to the conclusion of invited testimony. So I will open public testimony. The committee has received approximately 1,000 letters over the last 2 weeks on this bill, and there are a number of people that have called in online to testify. I think we might have folks in the room to testify as well. So I will ask that you keep your testimony to 2 minutes, and I will have our committee aide keeping a timer, so I may jump in and stop you if you get a little bit long. If we are not able to get to all the testimony today, we would ask that you please email house.labor.and.commerce@akleg.gov, and I will give that again at the end of our time here today, and we will add that to the file of letters that we have for this bill. So first, is there anyone in the room who wishes to testify on House Bill 99? Please approach the podium there and introduce yourself for the record, and you will have 2 minutes.
Thank you, Vice Chair Ruffridge and members of the House Labor and Commerce Committee. For the record, my name is Morgan Lim, and I am testifying today on behalf of Planned Parenthood Alliance Advocates Alaska. PPAA strongly supports HB 99, a bill that updates Alaska's non-discrimination statutes to promote dignity and fairness for our LGBTQ communities. Each of us should be free to create families, build loving relationships, and be who we are without facing discrimination based on our own personal, private lives. Yet every day, Alaskans across the state live in fear of being denied housing, turned away from public services, and rejected from financial opportunities because of our gender identity, gender expression, and sexual orientation. It doesn't have to be this way. As a healthcare provider and employer, Planned Parenthood knows that this legislation is good for public health and good for business. Because of discrimination and fear of discrimination, many LGBTQ employees hide their identities at work, are paid less, and experience fewer employment opportunities than their non-LGBTQ peers. This prejudice puts LGBTQ people at increased risk of poor physical health and mental health. We know that economic insecurity and discrimination begets health issues. The stress associated with a stigmatized environment alone causes increased cortisol production and over time can lead to hypertension, diabetes, anxiety, depression, suicidality, and substance abuse. Alaska has been denying LGBTQ people their equal dignity by deeming their basic needs, such as housing and employment, unnecessary protection. This sends a deeply stigmatizing message to our communities that the state of Alaska does not believe we deserve the equal opportunities and protections that our peers receive. PPAA, again, is in strong support of HB 99. We thank the committee for its leadership on addressing this issue, and we urge you to pass it out of committee. Thank you.
And thank you for your testimony. Is there anyone else in the room wishing to testify on HB 99? All right, seeing none, we will move online to Casey Kasort. I hope I said that right. Casey, if you are online, please begin your testimony. You have 2 minutes and introduce yourself for the record.
Thank you so much. My name is Casey Kasort. I'm calling today on behalf of myself, and I'm calling in enthusiastic support for House Bill 99. I would be overjoyed to see it finally passed this year. I first started following a version of this bill in 2015 as a West Valley High School student in Fairbanks. I printed out the bill language, and I highlighted all the ways that queer people would be protected if the bill passed. But on the other hand, highlighting it made me realize all the ways that me and my peers were vulnerable to discrimination. So for the first time in 2015, I emailed my representatives urging them to pass the bill. I'm 24 now. It's been almost a decade, and this bill is still being debated, which means my basic human rights are being debated and then denied when the bill fails to pass. I'd love to see this bill at least go to a vote on the House floor this year, because how legislators vote would certainly impact how I'll vote in the future. The other thing that frustrates me is that every year we come to these hearings and share our most terrifying moments of discrimination, and oftentimes nothing changes to prevent it from happening to someone else. So today I'd like to share some queer joy with you, and I invite other testifiers to do the same. Queer joy for me was going to my very first drag show when I was 18 and sitting in the audience around so many queer people. It felt like I was seeing a possible future for myself that I had never imagined. Queer joy was coming home to Fairbanks and finding incredible performers right here in our community. Queer joy is community, like when we lifted each other up after our LGBTQ plus rights were vetoed in Fairbanks in 2019. And queer joy is personal, like coming out to my little sister for the first time. Queer joy is abundant, and there's room for everyone to experience it. With that, I'll say thank you for hearing this bill. I really hope it finally passes this year, and I appreciate you all making it a priority. Thanks for your time.
And thank you for your testimony. We will move on to Rose O'Hara Jolly. Please introduce yourself for the record, and you'll have 2 minutes. Thank you.
Thank you. My name is Rose O'Hara Jolly, they, them pronouns on Dena'ina lands in Anchorage. I am calling in support of HB 99. I lived in the interior for 10 years before moving to Anchorage. Living my life as an out queer person, I can tell you that discrimination is real and does happen. But I want to spend my time sharing all the joy I have experienced so that those that are young and listening or those that are not fully out can share in them with me. And know that regardless of what the legislature does, we will always exist and we will always carve out spaces for ourselves. I turned 40 last year, which as a queer person is a milestone in and of itself. I have a job where I am fully out, where all, not some, of my coworkers respect and use my pronouns. I have safe housing. I mean, it's not just safe and stable, it's frankly adorable, and I love being at home. I have been welcomed in Anchorage and go ice skating with my dog and new queer friends and dancing and to shows with old friends surrounded by other queer folks. I have a wonderful support network of people who love me and know me. I do not have to hide who I am, and that is amazing. I did not think 20 years ago that queer people could live 100% out and open lives outside of big cities. But all of this was made possible by many privileges. The privilege in having a job that does not discriminate, the privilege in having landlords that know and love me, the privilege of now living in a city where discrimination is not allowed. These privileges should be a right. Housing, employment, being able to buy basic necessities, these should not be a privilege. These rights should be extended to every person in the state equally. I can tell you I know so many people in Fairbanks who do not feel like they can come out publicly for fear of being fired or evicted. Please pass HB 99 so that all people who live in Alaska can have happy, full lives, free from fear.
All right. Thank you for your testimony. I will go back to the room and ensure we don't have anyone else in the room wishing to testify on HB 99. Okay. Seeing none, we will move on to Mariah Bennett. Oh, hold on. Oh, we do have someone in room wanting to test. Do you? Okay, yeah, come on up. Introduce yourself for the record, and you'll have 2 minutes. Yes, please.
Hello, my name is Terilyn Chesley, or Ugliak Shalista. I live in Anchorage, and I'm a junior at Stellar Secondary. I'm originally from Bristol Bay. As a queer Indigenous youth, I have faced a lot of discrimination, especially being having not put labels on my sexuality. I am pushed every day to put labels on my sexuality, and I am told that I need to be one way or another and conform to society's labels. But being queer and not being not putting labels on my sexuality is super fundamental for myself. I luckily have a safe home where I can be openly out. I never had to come out to my family. They kind of already knew ever since I was really young. It was actually last year where I came out to them. My mom turned to me and she was like, "Oh, what happened to your one friend?" And I was like, "Oh, we're exes." And that was kind of like how it happened. And luckily I have a very supportive family, but not everyone does. LGBT youth, especially in Alaska, are very, I'd have to say, like, discriminated against. Suicide rates and depression rates are very high amongst LGBT youth, and it's really terrifying to be surrounded by my friends who are saying that they may do bad things to themselves because they do not have an acceptive and supportive community amongst them. And if you look at this bill, it would be amazing to not only myself, but queer youth all across the state, and just queer people in general. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you for your testimony. Anyone else in the room for House Bill 99 before we go back online? All right, seeing none, we will move on to Mariah Bennett. Please introduce yourself for the record, and you have 2 minutes.
My name is Mariah Bennett. I'm representing myself from Anchorage, Alaska. It is essential that transgender people are granted the same rights and protections as all other citizens. Transgender individuals face significant challenges of discrimination throughout history, and many continue to experience harassment, abuse, and marginalization of their daily lives. The revocation of transgender rights only exacerbates these issues and further jeopardizes their well-being. It is crucial to remember that transgender individuals are people just like everyone else, and they deserve to be treated with the same respect and dignity. They should have the right to use public restrooms, access health care services, live their life without fear of discrimination or persecution. We must work towards a society that is inclusive and welcoming of all individuals, regardless of their gender identity. The United States Constitution guarantees equal protection under the law. This should include protecting the rights of transgender people. I would hope that this bill would get passed this time to ensure that people moving forward don't have to experience these issues with discrimination.
Thank you, Mariah, for your testimony. We will move on to Michael Conti. Michael, introduce yourself for the record, and you have 2 minutes.
Oh, hi. This is Michael Conti. I'm speaking for myself here, representing myself. I'm a 29-year Alaska resident. I live in Anchorage. I have a transgender son. And I just wanted to offer my testimony to the committee in support of House Bill 99. I think LGBTQ people need the same rights and protections as all of us. And since they've been historically discriminated against, bullied, and various violence and indignities imposed on them through society not accepting who they are. I think this bill is very important towards equalizing and for the safety of all people, including LGBTQ people. I just want to say that my son struggled emotionally through middle school and high school, and when he first came out as non-binary and then eventually as trans, we saw his mood elevate, his acceptance of himself and his body. It was a transformation. And I think people need to be supported in being who they are. I don't think that any LGBTQ people are trying to influence or other people's identity. It's just about being themselves. So thanks for your time today, and I hope that you all vote in support of House Bill 99. Thank you.
And thank you for your testimony. We will move on to testimony from Jamie Gibson. Please introduce yourself for the record, and you have 2 minutes.
Hello, everybody. My name is Jamie Gibson, and I'm calling today from Fairbanks on behalf of myself in support of HB 99. I am a non-binary lesbian, and I am a queer success story. I'm 25 years old, living independently and happier than ever. I have incredible friends, a wonderful cat, and an amazing job where I can be out and proud of me. I have piercings and tattoos, and I dress the way I want. After years of searching for my place in this world, I have found it. With that being said, I have never felt truly safe to be myself around strangers, since I could inadvertently be putting a target on my back. Alaska law has never been on my side, so I have never felt safe to seek help. Alaska has laws protecting against discrimination, but they don't protect lesbian, gay, bisexual, or transgender and non-binary people. That means folks like me can be denied housing and public services just because of our gender identity, sexual orientation, or gender expression. Therefore, I choose to live by example. I choose to live proud and out loud. I want people to see me, a visibly queer young adult, to see their future. I want our closeted queer youth and elders to know they are not alone, no matter how hard the world tries to keep queer people invisible. I choose to heal publicly to help those who are suffering in silence. The bottom line is all LGBTQ plus people, both youth and adults, deserve the same rights as straight, cisgender people. I urge you to pass HB 99. Thank you for hearing this bill and making it a priority.
And thank you for your testimony. We will move back in room just to make sure we don't have anyone else wishing to testify. Seeing none, we will move on to Terry Sullivan. Please introduce yourself for the record, and you have 2 minutes. Terry
Sullivan. Hello, is that for me?
Yeah.
Yes, I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
My name is Terry Sullivan, and I had no idea. I'm 70-some years old, and I really had no idea that Alaska is as discriminatory as it is until I have a transgender friend. Yes. I think that's really awful. We all deserve the same rights, and I'm really glad this bill has been brought up, and I really hope it does change, because everybody deserves the right to be proud and happy and safe. That's about all I can do. Thank you.
Thank you for your testimony. We will move on to Michael Garvey from Anchorage. Please introduce yourself for the record and your affiliation, and you have 2 minutes.
Thank you. For the record, my name is Michael Garvey. I'm representing the American Civil Liberties Union of Alaska, calling in support of House Bill 99. There are sound legal arguments for why HB 99 should be passed in order to guarantee the constitutional rights and civil liberties of LGBTQ Alaskans. The Human Rights Commission ought to investigate all complaints within its jurisdiction related to sexual orientation and gender identity or expression. House Bill 99 would make that responsibility crystal clear. But in this moment, the primary reason to pass House Bill 99 is a moral one. Recent news has underscored the constant and increased hostility that LGBTQ people face, from the Human Rights Commission's refusal to investigate non-employment complaints, to the State Board of Education acting in secret to pass an anti-transgender sports resolution, to a bill from our governor that would violate the privacy and safety of queer youth. There is so much joy that LGBTQ people bring to their families and communities, and it is morally imperative that our government take every opportunity to recognize their inherent dignity and help them live free, full lives, not the opposite. House Bill 99 is a long-needed step in the right direction in this moment. It would help LGBTQ Alaskans address tangible harms that they face in their daily lives and to be in a better position to have what anybody else wants, a safe home, economic security, and to feel welcome in their community. Nobody should have to worry about being denied or evicted from housing, losing a job, or being turned away from a business because of who they are. And the government should not sanction that discrimination. The state says it prioritizes freedom and opportunity. It's time to guarantee those principles for everyone. We urge the committee to advance House Bill 99, and I thank the committee for hearing this bill and my testimony today.
And thank you for that testimony. We will move on to Kirsten Cotton. Please introduce yourself for the record, and you have 2 minutes.
Hi, my name is Kirsten Cotton, but I actually go by Jamie, and I want to express support for this bill. I'm a transgender man. My rights are a big conversation every year in legislation, and I have a huge amount of anxiety about going out for public support or employment because of the possible discrimination that I could face due to my identity. I want to share that no matter the outcome of today, that we as the LGBTQIA community will not be going anywhere, and we will stand together in the fight for our rights. Not being discriminated against should be a right that every person in this country should be able to have and not a privilege. Thank you for listening to me, and I ask for your vote for yes to pass this very crucial bill.
Thank you for your testimony. We will move on to Brooks Banker. Please introduce yourself for the record, and you have 2 minutes.
Hello, my name is Brooks Banker. I'm calling from Anchorage. I'm calling to support the passing of HB 99, and I want to thank Representative Armstrong for all the work that you've put into this bill, as well as the committee for hearing testimony today. I would like to speak a bit on the violence that is inflicted on Alaskan LGBTQ people. The Civil Rights Act, which recently included LGBTQ identities and gender identities, as well as the Alaska Human Rights Act, were in part created to protect historically targeted people and populations from harm, the harm caused by being fired and having unequal opportunities in their community, in our country, or in our state. To fire someone or to discriminate against them in any way perpetuates violence. It allows discrimination, or to allow discrimination on, as a state, the values an already vulnerable population, especially our transgender youth and trans people of color. Passing HB 99 inherently moves us forward in ending the violence, harassment, and assault that LGBTQ Alaskans do in fact experience. I'd also like to add that any attempts to silence or change the identity of members of this community does not work. We know that conversion therapy does not work. We know that trying to suppress the identity and experience of LGBTQ people does not work. The only thing that works is love, support, and affirmation of those identities so that people can be healthy, happy, contributing members of our society. I'd also like to share some queer joy, which is that I am in a circle of hundreds of LGBTQ-identified people here in Anchorage and all over this fine state, and there are people who are contributing smart, creative, beautiful ways for our community to come together. They are creating jobs are creating opportunity, not only for LGBTQ identified people, but also our cisgender and heterosexual identified community members too. They're some of the smartest, most, again, creative people I've ever met in my life, and we need to protect them and keep them here in the state by passing this bill. So please, I encourage the committee to pass HB 99 to continue making Anchorage and all of Alaska, of course, a more unique and beautiful place for all people. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. We will move on to Monika Theroux. I think that's how you say it. Please introduce yourself for the record, and you have 2 minutes. Can you hear us?
Oh, I can. Can you hear me?
Yes. Go ahead and introduce yourself and begin your testimony.
Perfect. Thank you. Hi, my name is Monika Theroux. My pronouns are she, her, and I'm calling on behalf of myself today. I'm a lifelong Alaskan, and I live on Denali Land in East Anchorage. I'm calling in today to express my support for HB 99. I have so many people in my life, friends and family, that are part of the LGBTQ community, and I worry about the discrimination that they may face in seeking housing or jobs here in Alaska. I love my friends. Growing up so far away from my extended family, my friends have become stand-ins for uncles, aunts, and cousins. I want them to be happy and healthy and safe and to have access to all of the same opportunities that all Alaskans should have. Knowing, too, that LGBTQ youth and adults experience higher rates of houselessness and housing instability in our country than non-LGBTQ folks, and knowing that there are currently no protections to prevent them from being discriminated against is really worrisome. I want to live in a state where my friends and family have recourse if they experience discrimination. All Alaskans deserve equal access to housing, and putting in place these protections through HB 99 is really the bare minimum of what we can do. I encourage you all to vote yes on the bill, and thank you so much for your time.
And thank you for your testimony. We will move on to the Anchorage LIO. We have two individuals there. We'll start with Alex Johnson. Please introduce yourself for the record and begin your testimony. You have 2 minutes.
Hello. My name is Alex Johnson, and I'm calling to testify in favor of House Bill 99. I am an 18-year-old senior in high school, and this bill is important to me because being a gay person in Alaska, this bill will protect myself and other gay or transgender Alaskans. With opposition to queer people still all too present in Alaska, the passage of this bill will give me and those like me the security against discrimination that all Alaskans deserve. Expanding the definition of sex in Alaskan law to include sexual orientation and gender identity is essential to protect marginalized groups in Alaska. This will protect Alaskans from discrimination regardless of their sexuality or gender identity. Gay and transgender Alaskans are already vulnerable to discrimination, and passing this bill will provide the protection they deserve as members of our community. Not only is this bill necessary to protect marginalized groups, but it is also consistent with the rulings in the Supreme Court. In the Supreme Court case, Bostock v. Clayton County, the court opinion stated, it is impossible to discriminate against a person for being homosexual or transgender without discriminating against the individual based on sex. This ruling was applied to discrimination in the workplace, but the logic extends past that. In no facet of life can you discriminate against someone on the basis of sexuality or gender identity without discriminating on the basis of sex. As leaders in our community, it is your responsibility to protect Alaskans, and extending protections against discrimination to vulnerable Alaskans by passing House Bill 99 is a great step towards that. Not only is this a great step towards a safer Alaska, it follows the legal precedent set by the Supreme Court. Thank you for your time and allowing me to testify.
And yes, thank you for your testimony. We will move on to Paige Chase in the Anchorage LIO. Please introduce yourself for the record. You have 2 minutes.
Hi, my name is Paige Chase. I'm a senior in high school, and I'm here to testify in favor of House Bill 99. As a member of the queer community, this bill will directly impact myself and others like me by expanding the definition of sex discrimination to include sexuality and gender identity. If this bill does not pass and I am not protected from discrimination on the basis of sexuality, then my health could suffer. I'm also disabled, and I rely on a team of specialists in order to live my life. Allowing healthcare workers to refuse to take me as a patient or to treat me differently because I'm queer could prevent me from accessing necessary treatment and severely diminish my quality of life. My physical health demands a lot of time and energy from me, so the last thing I need is to be worried that I'm not receiving the best possible care because of my sexuality. House Bill 99 would protect me from discrimination by medical professionals whom I have no choice but to see if I want to live a safe and comfortable life. So I urge the committee to support this bill. Thank you for your time.
And thank you for your testimony. We will move on to Nora Gikong. Please introduce yourself for the record, and you have 2 minutes.
Yes, hello. My name is Nora Geekin. I'm a longtime resident of Anchorage and a member of the queer community there, and I'm representing myself today. I'm calling to express strong support for House Bill 99. Our queer and trans communities in Alaska are so beautiful, strong, creative, and generous. We're an important part of this state, and we deserve protection. My queer joy is my family, my wife, Jenny Irene Miller, my incredible queer friends, my community. My queer joy is becoming a trusted confidant for other people who haven't yet fully come out, just as others once were for me, and treasuring that we create these bonds of trust, support, protection, and love. While I'm privileged to have secure housing, a secure and supportive work environment, and overall safety and support in my life, many LGBTQ plus people in Alaska do not. Many are at high risk of losing housing and employment due to discrimination. Those experiences have devastating ripple effects throughout all areas of life. I'm particularly worried about vulnerable LGBTQ plus youth here in Alaska. I've never lost a job due to discrimination. However, I have abruptly lost a job in the past, and that alone was a devastating experience. If that job loss had been due to my identity as a person, that would have been extremely hard on my mental and emotional health, just as the invited experts have described and other people have testified here today. It would have made me consider leaving Alaska altogether, a place that I love and have called home for many years. Even in my current wonderfully supportive work environment, I still always weigh the pros and cons of revealing anything about my sexuality or gender identity when attending client meetings. Everyone in Alaska deserves the assurance of anti-discrimination legislation, which can protect many and hurt no one, to ensure that Alaska is welcoming to all. Let's all support LGBTQ plus equality in Alaska and pass House Bill 99. Thank you for your time.
And thank you for your testimony. We will move on to Jesse Saiki. Please introduce yourself for the record, and you have 2 minutes.
Yep. Hello. Thank you for having me, everyone. My name is Jesse Saiki, and I am a proud non-binary and autistic person living here in the Anchorage area. Above all else, I'm a human being who wants to live the best life possible, probably just like all of you. I dream of a life where my family, friends, and I don't live in fear and secrecy. I grew up in Wasilla, Alaska, and was outed by my peers my freshman year of high school. This brought on a lot of isolation, verbal harassment, and even acts of violence, wherein my friends and I had bottles thrown out of cars at us while we walked home from school. I've been followed and harassed in a bathroom, and I shudder when I think about those times. Now, as an adult living in Anchorage, I'm so grateful to be living out, living as myself that I longed for while I was a young adult in Wasilla. And I'm so grateful my mission and my career is to support our LGBTQ youth, young adults, and community. This brings me great joy every day to work with our community. And at the same time, I'm heartbroken to see the same pain, the same isolation, and the same violence that I experienced as a child and young adult. All we want to do is be ourselves, to live the life that our hearts and minds tell us to. Please stand with us in wanting a better world for our LGBTQ people. We can do something about this, and this will save lives. We can make the right choice and vote yes on HB 99. We can make Anchorage a better place for LGBTQ people. Thank you, everyone.
Thank you for your testimony.
Moving on to Canyon Kokochuruk. Please introduce yourself for the record, and you'll have 2 minutes.
Hi, my name is Canyon Kokochuruk, and I am a proud, queer, Alaska Native man, and I am speaking on behalf of me and my siblings that don't have a voice, one of which will be born this year. I'm speaking in favor of HB 99. As a queer person who grew up and came out in school and being put headfirst in trash cans, being beat up and left in the bathroom, in school and other places, going through conversion therapy, being spit on, being punched as I walked through halls or the mall. This bill would make it so that me and my friends could walk safely. And if something were to happen to us, something would be done about it, and we wouldn't just have to avoid that place. This bill, if passed, would give my future sibling and the siblings that I have now the opportunity to feel safe, looking for housing, getting health care, getting the gender-affirming care that they need without having to risk their emotional and physical safety to do so. Not only that, this bill would ensure that if I were to ever need housing, that I wouldn't have to worry that my queer identity would get in the way of that and they would just see another person who needs housing. This bill would make it to where I wouldn't have to check in on my siblings twice a day to make sure that they weren't hate crimes because of how they choose to live their life. This bill would make it so that my future sibling could be born into a world that loves them for who they are, and they don't have to worry about the safety of me or their other siblings. This bill would also make it to where I wouldn't have to stand outside the bathroom while my trans friends go to the bathroom, so I don't have to worry if I have to go check on them if they've been hurt. This bill would protect my friends who are looking for housing who are just graduating from college. This bill would protect everybody, and this bill would make it to where I don't have to be in between hate and my community. This bill would make it to where I can live my life and date who I would like, and I don't have to worry about people throwing my food on the ground. This bill would make it to where I can live happy and I can live free and I can experience queer joy and spread that queer joy and continue to do so. I urge you to vote yes, and thank you for allowing me to testify.
And thank you for your testimony. We will move on to John Elliott. Please introduce yourself for the record and begin your testimony. You have 2 minutes.
Hi, thank you, dear Mr. Chair and members of the committee. My name is Johnny Elliott. I live in Sitka, and I'm representing myself today. First of all, a big thank you to you all for listening to all of our testimony here today. I want to focus a little bit on policy. Alex up in Anchorage took a lot of my talking points, so shout out to him. And I just wanted to share that in 2020, when the Supreme Court of the United States voted or ruled on Bostock versus Clayton, that Justice Gorsuch, writing for the majority, said that discrimination based on sexual orientation is discrimination based on sex, because behavior that is attributable or acceptable in one sex, like being attracted to a woman, might not be acceptable in the other one. And so thus the two were intimately linked. I think the same can be said for gender identity and gender expression forms of discrimination. And so when the Alaska Department of Law said that Gorsuch's logic only applied to employment, I was sort of confused by that ruling because I feel like it is much broader and should be applicable to all sorts of types of civil rights and equal protection. So I'm really excited by House Bill 99 and how it clarifies this issue on the right side and reaffirms a needed civil right for equal protection for our LGBTQ community here in Alaska. I also want to echo Dr. Longworth's early testimony and about the links between states that have robust equal protection for LGBTQ individuals and the stronger health outcomes that are correlated in those states. I think the correlation is very strong, and in building a healthier Alaska, we can start by offering equal protections and health for members of the LGBTQ community. So thank you all so much for allowing me to testify.
Thank you for your testimony. We will move on to Sarah Fiedler. Please introduce yourself for the record, and you'll have 2 minutes.
Yeah, hi. My name is Sarah Fiedler, and I am a resident of Houston, Alaska, and a lifelong Alaskan. And I'm here representing myself as a parent of a teen who is a part of the LGBT community, who is about to become an adult. You know, becoming an adult and a contributing member of a society should be exciting, and a lot of pressure and excitement is put on kids to decide what they want to be and what they're going to do when they grow up. And instead, in our home, we're concerned for my teen's future safety in their own community. And they look to us asking for solutions and answers. And this HB 99 being passed really would be a critical piece of that solution of my child feeling like Alaska can still be home, and still have this be a place where they feel safe and have the same rights as their peers as they grow up and become adults without fear of discrimination. And as a parent, my dream is for my child to live their life as themselves, and they can be a true gift to their community if they're allowed to do that and felt safe. And I really appreciate your time in considering passing HB 99.
Thank you for your testimony. We will move to Mike Coons.
Holy crap. Yeah, this is Mike Coons, President of Concerned Conservatives of Alaska. HB 99 is just more woke and LGBTDXYZ garbage. The change to Section 1 by adding sex, I have no problem with, since that matches up with our Constitution now. However, Section 2 is where we part ways. First off, let me be very clear. Since we hear from the socialists all the time as the China virus follows the science says, etc., yet when it comes to hundreds, if not tens of thousands of years, the science, there are two sexes, male and female. And the body is found years later, the science is to look at the pelvis, the length of the femur, and other aspects of the skeleton, much less than the DNA says XX or XY. There is no science that would or ever will show that person was non-binary or had believed along with hormonal and surgical procedures as in a woman or a man or a whatever. Yet the woke and LGBTQ XYZ wants us to not only fully disregard settled science, but add a whatever to the law. In response to earlier testimony on discrimination, a man dressed like a woman in Fred Meyers in Palmer, I called the Alaska Civil Rights Division and asked Fred Meyers that they had to hire and keep this person, even though he was not a positive asset. I was told that to fire that person would be in violation of state civil rights law. So the comments earlier is just plain false. Remember, this bill is also about blockbusting and real estate. Laws like science are supposed to be based on facts. Yet, over the years, we have seen that neither science nor laws have any meaning whatsoever. In your, the socialist, Marxist, communist world, you can redefine language, and when we push back, you call us racist, homophobe, extremists, even going so far as to label parents that speak up at school board meetings terrorists. We reject those attacks because your views and actions are the racist, heterophobes, extremists, and yes, even terrorists. No, we are fighting back against your evil intentions. We are standing for our Constitution as written, and our centuries-old science is based on facts. Even in science, there is fact. There is theory. In science, theory is never fact. Darwin's theory on evolution is still only a theory. Has not been confirmed as fact. The LGBTQXYZ isn't even being proposed as a theory that a man or a woman can transform their gender. If it is like being done in some medical community, that is worse than worst junk science and medicine and the medical aspect. It should be and never hopefully one day will be in prison. I call on all Republicans in this committee to call a vote and to vote down HB 99, thus killing this bill from proceeding further and wasting the people's time. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Coons. We're moving on to Alex Berry. Please introduce yourself for the record, and you have 2 minutes.
Hello, thank you. My name is Alex Berry. I live in Midtown Anchorage. I'm a homeowner here. I was born in Glen Allen. I was raised in Valdez. I love Alaska. I tried living out of state because I wanted to feel more safe in my community, but I miss Alaska so much. I
I came back. I want to retire here. I pay property taxes, and I help care for my aging parents, and I volunteer, so I try to make Alaska better in my little small ways, but I don't feel safe here. If I lose my job because I'm gay, I could become a drain on state resources. If I'm fired because of who I am, my wonderful, loving, accepting parents could become a burden to society as well. Discrimination has financial impacts in addition to the heartbreak and the immorality. I fear that if HB 99 doesn't pass, it will be another signal to some cruel people in Alaska that it's okay to hurt or kill people they don't like. If the state won't protect us, that encourages the haters. Passing HB 99 sends a strong message that all Alaskans deserve the same basic rights and protection. I want to thank you so much. Thank you, committee, for considering, and please pass HB 99. Thank you.
Thank you for your testimony. We will move on to Michael Farrell. Please introduce yourself for the record, and you have 2 minutes. Oh, we will not have Michael Farrell online. We'll move to Jessica Rosato. Please introduce yourself for the record, and you have 2 minutes.
Hi, everyone. My name is Jessica. My pronouns are she, her. And I am a writer in the Denali Borough, and I proudly and I openly identify as a queer woman. I have a trans partner, and I'm calling today to voice both of our support of HB 99. As you've heard, I want you to know that there are LGBTQ and queer individuals, along with our friends, family, and others who support us that live in every region in this vast state, and we want to continue to do so in increasingly scary times after decades of activism and fights for progress. I know with my heart and eyes that there are more of us in the 49th of all ages that you can even imagine. And I wanted to say, speaking of queer joy that was brought up earlier, have you ever been to a farmer's market in Fairbanks, Homer, or Anchorage? I have, and I've witnessed beautiful rays of queer representation, even in small ways and big ways, increasingly over the years. I ask you all to positively and properly show our state's strength and regard for all human life by prohibiting discrimination based on sexual orientation or gender identity and implement this necessary bill. Thank you for your time.
And thank you for your testimony. We'll move on to Joshua Nicely. Please introduce yourself for the record, and you have 2 minutes.
Hello, my name is Joshua Nicely. Thank you for the opportunity to speak. I'm speaking only for myself, nobody else. I'm a North Pole resident, and I ask that y'all vote yes on House Bill 99. House Bill 99 will ban discrimination based on gender identity and sexual orientation, and that's really important to do for us. Discrimination stunts the economy, which will ultimately hurt every Alaskan. I can say that as an Alaskan that is a skilled worker, the more I hear about the discrimination that our government is engaged in, the more I want to leave this state. And to be clear, I'm up here getting my PhD in geophysics. I just passed my defense 2 weeks ago, and I have a postdoc lined up to work here and do science here in Alaska. And I'm debating about whether or not I'm actually going to follow through with that because of all this discrimination that we're seeing. If we really want to develop our economy and be world leaders, we need to act like it. There is no place in our state for hate. So please vote yes on House Bill 99. And thank you.
Thank you for your testimony. We will move to Robert Hakama. Please introduce yourself for the record, and you have 2 minutes.
Hi, can you hear me?
We can.
Awesome. Good afternoon. My name is Robert Hakama. I am representing myself from Anchorage. I want to thank Representative Armstrong for this bill, which brings long overdue protections for our LGBTQ community. Being queer in Alaska is, often confusing and contradictory. We live in a state with an immense sense of pride over its value for individual freedom, but also a state that allows and continues to allow discrimination. You know, I grew up in a very conservative country, community, on the Kenai Peninsula. So I understand that opposition to this bill is most likely to come from folks who fear that it codifies special rights for a certain subpopulation, as the testifier a couple lines in the queue before me definitely demonstrated. I also know that the LGBTQ community is one of many that of the members of this entire chamber aren't particularly sympathetic to. So this is my plea to the conservative folks, not only on this committee, but in this entire chamber. In an ideal world, there would be no need for government mandates. That because there are just enough bad apples out there, the government must take an active role in leveling the playing field. This is the oath you swear to the Constitution, right? We fund public safety, we fund the police, we outlaw most cases of physical violence, and most importantly, we protect minorities who face discrimination through civil rights protection. But we're not being consistent. If you deny access to housing or employment because of something you cannot change about yourself, we are not upholding life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, period. I would submit to you that, you know, for those worried that this is government overreach, or those worried that the government doesn't have the right or it's not their place to step in into these sorts of avenues, you know, for Alaska to stand for freedom from government, we have to stand against discrimination. They cannot be separated. So that means we have to say no to folks who want to deny others freedom. That is the Alaskan way. So I ask that you vote to move this bill not only out of committee, but when it arrives to the floor, and if it passes and then inevitably gets vetoed by the governor, I ask you that you vote to override that inevitable veto if this bill does make it off the floor of the House and gets passed by both chambers. Thank you.
Thank you for your testimony. We are moving on to Zia Hetrick. Please introduce yourself for the record, and you have 2 minutes.
Hi, my name is Zia Hetrick. I use they, he pronouns. I am a queer, transgender, lifelong Alaskan, and I'm calling on behalf of myself in strong support of House Bill 99. As those who've testified before me have stated, discrimination has a huge impact on queer people in our state. I personally have faced discrimination in the workplace and in my personal life, and just being a human being in public since coming out years ago. I have also found great joy and love in being authentically myself. I have built a tightly knit network of other queer people and allies around me. I feel safe in my bubble, but when I venture out and into public spaces, that isn't the case. I know that I'm not protected in this state, and that is terrifying. Anti-discrimination legislation protects so many and hurts no one. I hope to see House Bill 99 pass. Thank you for hearing me. Please vote yes to pass House Bill 99.
And thank you for your testimony. We will move to Timothy Anderson. Please introduce yourself for the record, and you would have 2 minutes. Timothy Anderson.
Excuse me, my apologies. My name is Timothy Anderson. I was a 12-year active duty Air Force medical airman. I've lived in Alaska for 7 years, a proud Alaskan resident. I'm currently an Air Force reservist, serving as a war fighting aircraft maintainer. I am a member of the LGBTQ community. I have gay and genderqueer family members, including my brother, who's a trans man, and my spouse, who also identifies as gay and genderqueer. I'm a proud defender of American freedom, protection, and civil liberties. I couldn't agree more with the eloquent defendants of this bill earlier in the conversation, especially the Civil Liberties Union, who spoke about not only the need for this bill, we probably always needed this bill, but especially with the current wave of anti-gay and genderqueer legislation sweeping across the country and in our own state of Alaska. I think it's very important for the protection of our communities and our children that we do everything we can as possible to get this bill passed. Thank you very much.
Thank you for your testimony. Next, we have Lisa Maloney. Please introduce yourself for the record, and you have 2 minutes.
Hi, thank you very much for taking my testimony. My name is Lisa Maloney. I am a 40-something resident of Anchorage who has been here for 30-something years. My pronouns are she, her, and I am asking you to please support passage of HB 99 for the, I'm getting a little emotional here, for the very, very simple fact that LGBTQ rights are human rights, period, full stop. There's nothing more to it than that. We have a sector of humanity in our society that are not only more vulnerable to discrimination, but are actively discriminated against, harassed, threatened, and much worse, as has been reflected by the very brave people who speak out publicly about what they experience, including in the testimony here. I'd like to remind the House that you don't have to agree with the way that people live their life to acknowledge that they are human beings that have the right to live life, period. And I would also like to remind you that feeling safe at work, at home, and in public should be the starting place for all of us, not the place that you have to work for years to get to. And I would also, to the question of being productive members of society, the economy in Alaska is not doing great, as we have heard, and we need all of our productive members of society on deck. And it's hard to be a productive member of society when you are concerned about your basic welfare and when you are being left vulnerable to discrimination in all sectors of your life. You have the power to help make that right. It won't fix everything, but it'll be a great start in the right direction. So, again, I'm asking you to please vote yes for HB 99. Thank you.
Thank you for your testimony. Next, we have Kate Bay. Please introduce yourself for the record, and you have 2 minutes.
Hi, my name is Kate Bay. I'm like from the past century. I've been married to a man for like 1,000 years. I feel like we are coming into a new era, and I'm excited about this. I love seeing all colors of the rainbow, being able to participate in family life. My uncle Pete from the past century was probably a gay man, closeted, never married. He had 2 foster kids. He raised them. When he died, those 2 foster kids were pallbearers for his funeral. We loved Uncle Pete. So if he were living in this day and age, he would be able, and his whoever he'd be with would be welcome into our family. I really love LGBTQ people. I really do. I'm really proud of them. They have put up with a lot. And I really don't like what the MAGA people are doing. It's just too extreme and spooky for me. I will never trust them with the LGBT issues, and I would urge the Republicans to pull away from those people and pass this bill with bipartisan support, because the future does not belong to people like me who are from the past century. The future belongs to our kids, and to those kids out there, make sure that you vote for people who are really pro-LGBTQ, because your life depends on it. And I want you to know that I love you and I'm very proud of you. Thank you for listening to me. So please do vote for this bill. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you for your testimony. Next, we have Susan Bresnick. Please introduce yourself for the record, and you have 2 minutes.
Hi, my name is Susan Bresnick. I am calling to support the House Bill 99. I am simply the mother of a son that is part of the LGBTQ community. His name is Brooks Banker, and he just spoke a little while ago. It's hard to believe that we're still trying to fight for the rights of people in this community when really it's just such a simple thing to me that they should be treated with respect and not face discrimination. I have met many people in the LGBTQ community through my son, and I have not met one I don't like. They all are so kind and respectful. And it saddens me to hear some of the stories that people have spoken about earlier. And the stories I hear from people, the young adults that I meet through my son. And it's just, like I said, it's a simple thing. I really support this House Bill 99, and I hope it is passed because everyone deserves a nice place to live and to get the health care that they need and to get support with mental health so that there aren't suicides of young people or older people or any people. That's really it. So I hope this bill passes. Thank you.
Thank you for your testimony. Next we have Titus Epsilon. Introduce yourself for the record, and you have 2 minutes.
Hi, everybody. Chair, is that who's speaking to me right now?
It is.
Hi, can you please tell me how many people in the room?
There is the committee, and then there's 5 other folks in the room.
Okay, well, then most of you guys are probably, I don't know, anything about you guys, but I know about myself, and I know about people like me. And there's a lot of people like me, and I didn't know I was a people like me for a long time. I'm just tall, and leggings fit me better than jeans do. And because I wear jeans in public, or I don't wear jeans in public anymore, people give me some funny looks. Now, I tell you what, I'm more comfortable with myself now than before doing that, and it feels pretty great. But I've chosen to stay here. I work at the university, and things are challenging there. I work in Anchorage. Things are challenging here. But the thing that I know that is true for me is that I want to stay here, that I love this place we call Alaska, and I feel welcomed here to be myself and contribute the most that I have. And this bill is really, to me, is a step in the direction that says from our leadership to people like me, hey, we want you a part of the team. We want you to play and make this place a better place, because we could go on about what this state needs improvement on, and that's a whole other committee. But I walked away from a very high-paying job in the Navy to be here, to participate in this economy. We're at the center of global trade, and I want to make this place better and be a part of this place being better. For those of you who maybe don't want to vote for this bill, just get it out of the way. Show people like me that it's time, that we're ready to work on something and you know, move forward. Thanks.
Thank you for your testimony. Next, we have Aaron Barnett. Introduce yourself for the record, and you have 2 minutes.
Hi, thanks. My name is Aaron Barnett, and I'm an Anchorage resident, and I'm a queer lesbian. I have the joy of being in the full queer community here in Anchorage and then connected to queer community all across Alaska. And I'm also lucky to have safe and secure housing and to be out at work and in all aspects of my life. However, there's never not a time when I'm not making calculations about what is safe for me, what is safe for me to disclose, whether that's on my resume, whether that's in a new work environment, or whether that's just being out in public with others, because I have experienced the ways that once people understand my queerness, it shifts in the ways that they treat me. And that's just a small example, because I do have a significant amount of support and safety in my life. But it's magnified in those I see who are gender nonconforming and trans, the people in my community, the people that I love, who have experienced loss of jobs, who have struggled to find safe and consistent housing because of other people's biases. And that's why I urge you to pass this bill, because it truly matters that all of Alaskans are treated the same and given the ways that queer folks experience significant disparities around treatment and discrimination, this is a huge step forward in creating the equity that I long to see for beautiful people here in Alaska and beyond. I think so many folks who've spoken before me have made so many excellent points, from the economic benefits to others, and said them far more eloquently than myself. But I appreciate this opportunity to share both my personal experience and again to encourage you to pass this this bill. Thank you so much.
Thank you for your testimony. Next, we have Ed Martin. Please introduce yourself for the record, and you have 2 minutes.
Yes, thank you, Chairman Rufford and other members of this committee. My name is Ed Martin, Jr. I reside at 702 Lawton Street in Kenai. I am 68 years old, proud to be an Alaskan for over 57 years. I gave my wife and I, who just had a celebration of being married for 50 years. We've, by the grace of God, had children born to us, and with my wife's help, of course. You know, I don't have a problem with this bill except for in Section 2. And I'm sort of wondering about this numerization you have there. In Section 1, you have Section 1 and then a subsection of 1, I believe. In Section 2, you have, in the parentheses, 19, 20, and 21. I would like for you to amend this second section and strike Section 20, or at least that is does not define sex as we have all known as a social norm for many, many years, all my life, and I don't believe it belongs in this law. I will support the bill without that being there. Other than that, I think what you're trying to do is change the social norm and a definition that is for my science has been identified. If you're going to put sex in there, put it under its true and accurate definition, scientific definition. Don't walk this thing out with that number 20 and change the letter. Change it should be Section 2, 1, 2, and 3. I don't know what you folks are doing here, but whoever writes this stuff up, things have changed in our lives. There's no doubt, Representative Ruffridge and all you other members. But you know something? I'm still a man. My wife's still a woman. We have children who were born to us of certain sexes. Let's not try to change social norm in that fashion. That's what I'm asking you to do. Do your job appropriately and letter this thing appropriately. Thank you for allowing me to testify.
Thank you for your testimony. Next, we have Michael Flint. Please introduce yourself for the record, and you have 2 minutes.
Hi, my name is Michael Flint. I am a non-binary queer person. My pronouns are any pronouns used for respect. I live in Anchorage, Alaska. I'm calling on behalf of myself, my spouse, and the newly formed chapter of Alaska Pride at Work, as well as more than 70% of Americans. I myself am a disabled veteran living with PTSD. I served under Don't Ask, Don't Tell, and then I moved to Alaska. I was not expecting the discrimination and to continue hiding what I was when I got here. I then found out that this bill has been in existence for almost 10 years, which is shocking and disappointing. Like my fellow Alaskans, I take unapologetic pride in who I am and the state I live in, but not having equal protections often makes that contradictory and challenging to justify myself and my spouse remaining in the state. When I came here, I bought a home with my husband. The banker multiple times tried to tell me that, oh, he doesn't have to be on your loan. You can take it off. You can do this by yourself. The person didn't actually understand how insulting and rude this was. That's just a small example of something that we deal with on a daily basis. So this is one of the many reasons why we created Pride at Work. This is a place to create a community, provide protections for employees and people in the workforce. It's really unfortunate that we need this. I wish that we had these protections written into law. Even with this, I, like others, consider being fully open about myself at work because I know that I could be discriminated against. A great example and some obvious proof is the gentleman who testified earlier. He tried to get someone fired for being queer. This is clearly something that people in Alaska are comfortable doing. It encourages hate and discrimination. Personally, hate and discrimination are not words that I want associated with this state, and our rights should not be up for debate. We have a right to exist just like everyone else. There's transgender bills going on across the country. Dunleavy introduced these bills. These are negative things as far as Americans are concerned. More than 70% of Americans support LGBTQ rights. We already have people leaving the state of Alaska in increasing numbers. We do not need to be discouraging people to come, discouraging queer folk and their allies from coming to Alaska. We should be welcoming people, no matter what they are or where they come from. Thank you for your time.
Thank you for your testimony. Next, we have Darcy Coughlin. Please introduce yourself for the record, and you have 2 minutes.
Hi, my name is Darcy, and I live in Fairview in Anchorage on Dena'ina land. Giving myself the gift of coming out as queer and trans has been the brightest part of my life. I moved to Alaska in 2017, not thinking I would stay. And I stayed here because I felt community in ways that I've been looking for my whole life. I've been privileged to find friends and family up here. And when I heard that my safety was being questioned, I felt betrayed. I grieved the pseudo-safety that I was living in. That I was living in with my immediate community. And I deserve to feel safe when I go to work. To repeat something said by a previous testifier, anti-discrimination laws hurt no one, and they help everyone. I don't need to be friends with everyone. I don't need everyone to like me. But I do need you to respect me enough to stop standing in the way of my human rights. I work in customer service at a well-known brewery in Anchorage. I myself am confronted with my own hate that I have to deal with when someone comes in wearing political garb that I'm not in line with. And in fact, directly threatens my existence. But I get to make the choice that it's not my hate that will make me safer with these people. So I'm making the choice to show these people care and warmth that are beyond just my standard duties. And I'm asking for the same. And just in regards to the science in section 2, the science of genetics is young. 1960s is when this research started coming out.
Darcy,
ever evolving.
Is at 2 minutes. If you don't mind wrapping up your testimony, please, that would be... great. Thank you.
That is it. That is all I say. I have to say. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. Next, we have Carly Jensen. Please introduce yourself for the record, and you have 2 minutes.
Hi, my name is Carly Jensen. I am a resident of Soldotna, Alaska, and I will be representing myself today. I grew up reciting the Pledge of Allegiance every morning, and I took to heart liberty and justice for all. We cannot confidently say that we are upholding the creeds and philosophies of our country without protecting those that would otherwise be marginalized. We need to ensure the rights of every American. Alaska will lose out on all of the talent, knowledge, technical skill, and growth that comes with being in a more inclusive community. We cannot say that discrimination can only happen within the job market when so much of our basic necessities, like healthcare, are tied to acquiring and holding a job. In reference to an earlier speaker, to Mr. Kuntz, I hold a master's degree in science, specifically biology. The science supports many different expressions in which chromosomal technical sex is only one of 5 different expressions. Biology, science, supports 5 main factors, that being chromosomes, hormones, hormonal expression, internal genitalia, and external genitalia. If we look at statistically, this is 5-factorial. That is 120 different potential combinations. And saying that there is only 1 or 2 binary when we have 120 different
possible combinations of these five different factors is very narrow-minded. And I would like to show that I can make an argument without cutting down, degrading, or being overly condescending to the opposing side. Thank you.
Thank you for your testimony. Next, we have Amber O'Brien. Please introduce yourself for the record, and you have 2 minutes.
My name is Amber O'Brien. My pronouns are she, her, and I live in Wasilla, Alaska. I'm a lifelong Alaskan. I was born and raised in Anchorage, and my daughter was born in Anchorage, Alaska. She identifies as queer and goes to school in Wasilla. It is unfair that children who grow up in Alaska have to live with the future that is uncertain. They come out of school and they ask their parents what happens now. They may come from a safe home like mine, and they ask questions, and I am supposed to be able to give advice to them. That's my job as her parent. And I'm supposed to be able to say, your state is safe, your job is secure, your home that you choose to live in can't be taken away from you. But I can't, not here. And that is unfair. Equality doesn't hurt anybody. It's not pie. We're not going to run out. We can give it away. Discrimination hurts everybody, not just queer people, not just gay people. It hurts everyone. I urge you sincerely to vote yes for HB 99. Thank you.
Thank you for your testimony. Next, we have Mercedes Arseniga. Please introduce yourself for the record, and you have 2 minutes.
Hi, yes, my name is Mercedes Arseniga. I'm representing myself today, and I live in Anchorage, Alaska, on the unceded lands of the Dene people. I am calling in to show my support and encourage a strong yes vote for HB 99. A few things to break down. First, when we're talking about blockbusting, as somebody was mentioning earlier, this is a crucial part to look at fair housing for all. So I don't see why there would be any issue with even the first part of this bill. The second part that we're talking about is the clear delineation of what is constitutes as discrimination in terms of, like, sex, gender. I know there's been some pretty ignorant things that have been said out here, so I highly encourage those people to do more modern research to understand the differentiations of gender expression, sex, and so on, because I think that their mindsets are stuck in old social norms. There's nothing wrong with outlining the things that would better protect everyone. As everyone has said, using things that would protect us against discrimination doesn't harm anyone. And if people have issues with that, I think that that stands in their own maybe religious beliefs or personal beliefs, and clearly don't look at the liberty for everybody to be protected. I am a queer person. I'm a lesbian. I'm a business owner with my wife. We are positive forces in the community, and knowing that we would be better protected when it comes to housing or even employment, financials, healthcare, and other types of public accommodations would make me feel prouder to be an Alaskan. I want people to stay here. I want people to come here. I don't want them to be afraid for their own safety. So I highly encourage a yes vote on this. I also highly encourage better research for people to be not so ignorant and realize what this bill is actually protecting if they really believe in everything our Constitution stands for at a state and a national level. Thank you.
Thank you for your testimony. Next, we have Jaina Willihan. Introduce yourself for the record, and you have 2 minutes.
Hi, my name is Jaina Willihan. I am speaking on behalf of myself, and I live in, was born and raised in Anchorage, Alaska, on Dene land. I also identify as a bisexual woman and use her pronouns. I have seen secondhand, one of my really sweet, kind friends has been discriminated against in finding housing and ended up living out of their car because they weren't able to rent from people who didn't accept them as they identified. And just in general, I just want to really support House Bill 99 as a first step towards more equality and just kind of back what everyone, well, most people have said tonight, which is just, it does not harm anyone to treat everyone with more equality and kindness and love. And LGBTQ plus rights are human rights, and trans rights are human rights, and we shouldn't have to fight this hard to have those rights. So I just urge you to support and pass House Bill 99. Thank you.
Thank you for your testimony. Next, we have Melissa White. Please introduce yourself for the record, and you have 2 minutes.
Good afternoon. My name is Melissa White. I live on Denina Land in Anchorage, Alaska. I'm representing myself, and I am a mother of a young child and established professional in education and healthcare. We should expect and be proud to have anti-discrimination protections in our laws. These laws are not only what's right, but what is best for our economy and community, addressing needs for housing and job security. In this discussion, it can be lost that we are talking about human beings and the right to be human as we are born and meant to be, not as others consider the way that they would expect us or like us to be. So it is difficult to even entertain any notion or legality around anything that includes discrimination. Time and time again, our country, our state has stood on the side of inclusivity and equality as being the direction to go. And ideas around discrimination are not only outdated, but threaten the safety and well-being of our entire community. Allowing bills like this not only would affect, as others have said, LGBTQ2+ community members, but also the rights of women, the rights of children, those who are disabled, and veterans, other populations as well. And that's something that can get lost in the rhetoric around this. Thank you for your time.
And thank you for your testimony. Takes us to the end of online testimony, bringing it back to the room. Is there anyone else in the room wishing to testify on House Bill 99? Seeing none, I will close public testimony. And with no other testimony here and public testimony closed, House Bill 99 is the last of our business for today. We will be setting this bill aside for another hearing, and we will conclude our business today. Let the record reflect that the time is 5:20 p.m. and we will be in recess until 3:15 p.m. Wednesday, March 22nd. Thank you.